Fillmore Treat. This is BillPutt.com, The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from San Francisco's Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 19th of May, 2016. On this date in 1536, Anne Boleyn is beheaded. 1588, the Spanish Armada sets sail before getting its ass kicked by long-range guns from the British. 1743, Jean-Pierre Christian develops a centigrade temperature scale. 1836, Cynthia Ann Parker is kidnapped in Central Texas between Austin and Dallas by a band of Comanche. Read a great book called The Empire of the Summer Moon for more on this amazing period. Her son, Kawana Parker, is the last free chief of the Comanche. 1897, Oscar Wilde is released from jail after serving 2 years hard labor for being gay and having a relationship with the son of a powerful marquis. 1916, Britain and France conclude the Sykes-Picot Agreement and divide up Arab lands, an area that was about to not be controlled by the Ottoman Empire. 1921, the U.S. Congress passes the Emergency Quota Act, establishing national quotas on immigration. 1935, Lawrence of Arabia, T.E. Lawrence, dies after a motorcycle wreck. His life after Arabia is even wilder than in Arabia, and that's saying something. 1963, the New York Post Sunday Magazine publishes Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from a Birmingham jail. 1967, the Soviets ratify the treaty banning nuclear weapons from outer space. Birthdays are Ferdinand Magellan, Kemal Atatürk, Ho Chi Minh, Pol Pot, Malcolm X, Andre the Giant, and Grace Jones. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast is written by Ari Swiecka. Had an interesting question from Evgenia, who wanted to know why I wanted pictures of people from the World Congress of Families. She said there were Orthodox people from all over the place there, and what's the big deal? Fair enough. It's just always pictures of U.S. evangelicals around town, you know, in a foreign country can always be great. Haven't gotten any. If anybody's taken any pictures, there have certainly been some good writing and tweeting about the authority, but we haven't gotten that many pictures. Anyway, more on that later. If we can, we'll go over the story of what happened there. She also asked a good question that we'll answer next week on a unrelated issue, sort of. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. The 10th World Congress of Families was held in Tbilisi from the 15th to the 18th of May. As a reminder, it's an Illinois-based NGO of Christian conservatives that seek to protect traditional family values that was, however, conceived of and originally discussed when an evangelical was in Moscow. So they want to protect family values, meaning homophobia and various other phobias. Orthodox public figure and businessman Levon Vasadze organized hosting it in Tbilisi this year. In his speech at the conference, Vasadze accused the West of poisoning Georgian youth by promoting aggressive liberalism. He criticized Misha's liberalism, criticizing the Otsneva government for adopting the 2014 anti-discrimination law, and continued that the West has lost Georgia for attacking traditional society. Timing of the World Congress of Families was chosen to coincide with International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, otherwise known as Idaho or Idahot Day, on the 17th of May. Also, counted Idaho in 2014, the Patriarch made the 17th of May into a holiday marking Family Day or the Day of Family Purity. This came after the messy events in 2013 when a small group of pro-tolerance demonstrators, your narrator among them, were just wandering around and were violently attacked by a mob of many, many homophobic weirdos. The mob was led by Orthodox priests. I believe that they got some fuel requisitions from somewhere and came into town, including the famous Taburetka priest. On the 17th of May this year, there were two groups of rallies and protest performances. First, there was a major march to mark the Patriarch's Family Purity Day. The Orthodox community and people from the World Congress of Families marched down Rustaveli all the way to some epic cathedral. There were 2,000 or 3,000, including altar boys in robes carrying flags, clerics in robes blessing people, guys in chochas, people carrying icons. LGBT activists had requested to hold a gathering to mark it either on Rustaveli Avenue or Freedom Square, but were denied permission from the authorities because there was already the Family Purity March scheduled, They were offered instead to have theirs at Hualibagi or Round Garden between Veta and Vake. They turned it down, saying they couldn't hold it where they wanted to with police protection. Rights groups, including Gaila and Identoba, responded that certain political and religious groups try to monopolize public spaces and that the state allows it, that this encourages xenophobic and homophobic groups. Public Defender also expressed regret that Idaho couldn't be expressed in public. Meanwhile, 10 LGBT activists were arrested by police before dawn. Seven of them were trying to graffiti "All Love is Equal" outside the Patriarch's premises. Three were at Freedom Square graffiting a rainbow flag. Other activists staged a satirical performance to express their protest. Outside the Interior Ministry headquarters, a man dressed like an Orthodox priest led a mock funeral procession. Pallbearers carried a coffin draped in rainbow flags. It was a funeral of the state, symbolizing the authorities' failure to provide security guarantees for people who marched the Idaho to on Rustavelli. In a separate protest, several activists brought a rainbow-painted stool, or taburetka, set it outside the Radisson Blue Hotel where the World Congress of Families was meeting. Taburetka is associated with the violence on the 17th of May, when an Orthodox cleric was carrying the taburetka that he took from some poor refugee, trying to break the glass of the bus, carrying the pro-tolerance activists to safety. In Ozurgeti and Guria, activists painted the stairs of a theater in rainbow colors. For those in Tbilisi, on Friday the 20th of May at 1 p.m., activists will be protesting outside the Tbilisi city court in support of the 10 who were arrested on the 17th of May for the graffiti. Following up on the Ministry of Defense Cables case on the 16th of May, Tbilisi City Court found five former officials from the Ministry of Defense and General Staff guilty and sentenced them to a seven-year prison term. They were also banned from holding public office for 2 years. As a reminder, they were arrested in October 2014 and charged with misspending over $4 million in an alleged sham tender in 2013 for laying a fiber optic cable. All five men spent almost 8 months in pretrial detention before they were released in June 2015. In August 2015, Defense Minister Tinico Chidashelli reinstated four of the men to their jobs. Two of them served in the Defense Ministry's procurement unit and two others in the General Staff's IT department. The announcement of the guilty verdict sparked an angry reaction in the courtroom. It was filled with the defendants' relatives and supporters, as well as leaders of the Free Democrats Party. Tbilisi Court City Judge Besik Buganishvili expelled almost the whole audience from the courtroom when they were making noise. The defense is obviously taking the case to the appeals court. Free Democrat leader Irakli Alassania, who was defense minister when the five were arrested in 2014, said the guilty verdict was a political order coming from Bidzina, that it demonstrates the growing trend of authoritarianism, and vowed that they plan to unseat this government in the elections. The Republican Party, which remains in the governing Otsneva coalition, also said on TV that there were political motives behind the guilty verdict. I looked into this when it happened, and in my view, there is absolutely no question that they are all innocent. Georgian Dream Democratic Party held their party congress in Tbilisi Sports Palace on the 14th of May. Former Prime Minister Bidzina, as well as Garibashvili, were there in the front row. The party elected Prime Minister Kvitikashvili as party chairman. He was the only candidate. Most of the incumbent members of the party political council were unchanged, except they also added 21 new members. Notably, there's David Bakradze, who is a state minister for Euro-Atlantic integration, as well as Prime Minister Kvitikashvili's longtime friend, Dato Hogoashvili, who actually was in the parliament that was unseated after the Rose Revolution when the constitution was illegally amended. He was a member of parliament with the Maymarch and Evi, the new race party. He was a member of parliament 1999 to 2004. The incumbent member of the political council who retained their seats are energy minister Kahi Kaladze, lawmaker Gia Volsky, who chairs the party's parliamentary faction, lawmaker Manana Kobachidze, who's the vice speaker of parliament, lawmaker Eka Beselia, interestingly, who is horrible. She's a chairperson of the Human Rights Parliamentary Committee. Lawmaker Irakli Sesiashvili, yeah, who is the chairman of the Defense Committee in Parliament. Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri, Dato Saganalidze, who's head of the State Investment Fund, and more. Kvitikashvili spoke about how Georgian Politics needs new energy and new vision. Yeah, that the Georgian dream, Democratic Party, should become a modern European-styled party about the importance of democratic governance within the party. He then concluded and talked about the need for having strict party discipline. This was in reference to the ongoing conflict with Georgian dream Democratic Georgia lawmaker Tomas Mechiaouri, who's been openly fighting with the Republican Party for months and who's also made anti-NATO and anti-Western comments. In recent weeks, Prime Minister Kvitikashvili and many others have distanced themselves from him because he's an idiot. But there were rumors in Georgian media about how Kvitikashvili hasn't been able to call the shots over regarding the party. In the days leading up to the Congress, Kvitikashvili mentioned that there won't be people in the team who question Georgia's pro-Western foreign policy course, and that the party will be united under a new parliamentary team, referring to their party list for the October elections. Interesting if Mechiaouri will be on it, and Eka Basilia, which sounds as if she will be. Bijina commented that he will release a written statement in a week with details on the party's plans. On a similar note, on the 15th of May, the National Movement presented their party list for the top candidates for members of parliament who will be contesting in the proportional system in the elections. The top 10 include only two incumbent National Movement lawmakers, as well as an ex-chief of the central bank, a former public defender, former public servants, and diplomats. They said the list shows renewal and new energy. The list is led by lawmaker Datta Bakradze, who was UNM's presidential candidate in 2013. The other incumbent lawmaker is Sergio Ratiani. The other eight on the list are Elena Kostaria, who's deputy state minister for Euro-Atlantic integration and is very smart. Sergei Kapanadze, former deputy foreign minister, also a very smart guy. Roman Gotzeridze, who was the president of the National Bank, 2005-2007, member of parliament before that. Nika Melia, who's UNM's mayoral candidate in the 2014 local elections. Georgi Tughushi, who chairs the watchdog group Georgian Democracy Initiative and is a former public defender, former prisoners minister. Otar Kakhidze, very annoying guy, partner in the Tbilisi-based law firm BGI Legal, who worked under Adeshvili in the Justice Ministry, dealing with the department that would look at all international rankings that Georgia was in and pick them apart and try to influence them somehow, among other things, in the Justice Ministry. Salome Samadashvili, who was Georgia's ambassador to the EU in 2005-2013 and used to work many years ago at the National Democratic Institute, and Irakli Abesadze, who's now a member of the Tbilisi City Council, or Sakrebulo, as they say. As a reminder, 77 seats of parliament are allocated under the proportional party list system for parties and election blocks, which clear 5% threshold. Candidates ranking higher on their party list, members of parliament candidates, have more chances of getting a seat in parliament if their party clears the 5% threshold. Interesting initiative from the Republicans on that we'll mention at the end in the parliamentary section. Georgia and China held negotiations in Beijing this past week over the free trade deal. They agreed to complete the free trade talks by the end of 2016 and to have come into force by early 2017. This was the second round of free trade talks. First was held in Tbilisi in February. The third round will be in July in Tbilisi, and all following consultations will be held every 2 months. January-March 2016, exports to China increased by 105% year-on-year, according to official figures. Meanwhile, two Chinese companies signed a memorandum of understanding with the Agriculture Ministry and the Partnership Fund to develop Georgia's tea industry. Following up on the lari, the National Bank bought another $20 million at a foreign currency auction on the 17th of May. Lari continues to strengthen against the dollar. It was trading at 1.1878 per U.S. dollar by the evening of the 16th of May, which is 9% stronger since the beginning of the year. This is the National Bank's eighth intervention on the purchasing side since mid-March. Central Bank has bought a total of $115 million in these eight interventions. Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said at the Warsaw Summit in July, NATO will recognize Georgia's progress and will reiterate its commitment to provide tactical support. Woohoo! On the 19th of May, James Aptiaouri, NATO Secretary General's special representative for the Caucasus, told the Georgian public broadcaster that Georgia should focus on NATO membership, not MAP, because Georgia won't be given map at the Warsaw summit. He also said that membership in the alliance represents a political decision and does not depend only on Georgia's armed forces and reforms. Defense Minister Tiniko Khidashvili was in Azerbaijan for the fourth trilateral meeting of the defense ministers of Georgia, Azerbaijan, and Turkey. The countries will conduct joint military exercises in Georgia in the spring of 2017. Three defense ministers will also meet again later this summer in Batumi. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili was in Thessaloniki, Greece, for a groundbreaking ceremony for the Trans-Adriatic Pipeline, known as TAP, which is part of the Southern Gas Corridor, bringing gas from Azerbaijan to Europe. The economy minister is in Berlin for an OSCE business conference. Foreign Minister Misha Janelidze was in Sofia, Bulgaria, for a committee of foreign ministers at the Council of Europe. Prime Minister of Azerbaijan was in Tbilisi for an event to mark the 20th anniversary of the Baku-Tbilisi-Supsa oil pipeline. Saudi ambassador to Baku was in Tbilisi and met with a foreign minister. Saudi Arabia and Georgia signed an agreement for further cooperation. Environmental activists interrupted a speech by Tbilisi Mayor Daton Normania on the 17th of May during a session of the Tbilisi City Council. They were protesting lands from the Tbilisi Botanical Garden being sold to Bidzina. They were calling Mayor Narmania an enemy of the city. In South Caucasus news, the president of Azerbaijan and Armenia presidents met in Vienna on the 16th of May to discuss a possible settlement of the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. The talks were mediated by Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, and the French Foreign Minister, who co-chairs the Minsk group of the OSCE. And on the students, the president and vice president of Tbilisi State University Student Self-Government resigned on the 18th of May. They said it was because they promised to resign if the rector resigned, which he did in April. Journalist Mehrab Metrovelli is joining opera singer Pata Burchiladze's new political movement, The State for the People. There's a new UK-Georgia film in the works about the August 2008 war. It's called Shindisi. It will be directed by U.S.-based Georgian director Nika Agiashvili. It's co-produced by the UK's Film and Music Entertainment Production House and Georgia's 20 Steps Production. They get to benefit from the cash rebate Film in Georgia program. They'll begin filming in September in the village of Shindisi in central Georgia. Over 50 prisoners serving life sentences in Gildani Prison No. 8 and Rustavi Prison No. 6 went on hunger strike. They want to get sentences reduced according to the Otsneva amnesty law. And following up on last month's story, the National Forensic Bureau confirmed the authenticity of an audio file which appears to show that a well-known guy, Shalva Ramishvili, threatened to ruin the career of actress Tatia Samkharadze if she didn't sleep with him. She was working for him at the time at Imedi TV when he was a producer. He was unexpectedly fired from Imedi in April. The chief of police in Poti was dismissed. He also was accused of sexual harassment. News of other dismissals. The director of State Military Scientific Technical Center Delta was dismissed. The defense ministry said it's because there were problems using the anti-hail machinery in Kakheti. Four directors of Tbilisi kindergartens were dismissed. One of the directors claims it was for political reasons, that it was decided by the Otsneva Political Council. Her brother is Gia Udesiani, who in 2015 was arrested and charged with the torture and forceful extortion of the shares of Turtle Lake from businessman Hardziani. There were major hailstorms in Kakheti and Çanakkale in the first 2 weeks of May, damaging crops. The government is giving 180 lari per hectare to farmers who experienced losses and helping them with agricultural support. Georgia was invited, along with the U.S. and Romania, to have a seat in the World Rugby Council. 14 parties have registered with the Central Elections Commission thus far for the October elections. The NGO Caucasian House hosted a discussion in Tbilisi about Salafism in Georgia. One of the speakers was a Salafi imam from Pankizi. For those who don't know, Caucasus House has been around forever and is very, very cool. Government will be offering free housing to top university students from the regions who are studying in Tbilisi but who can't afford accommodation. It was an initiative of former Prime Minister Khadabashvili. They built a dormitory-style building near Lisi Lake. Reportedly, it can accommodate people with disabilities. It has a dining room, library, computer room, stadium, and gym. No details for now on how students can apply for residency. The Consulate of Morocco is set to open in Tbilisi soon. More info on the compressed natural gas buses. EBRD is giving Georgia two loans worth, whoa, 34 million euro. Tbilisi will get between 150 and 200 energy-efficient buses. EU is giving 3.2 million euro in funding to increase border surveillance on the Georgia-Turkey border, focusing on forested areas. It's being implemented by the International Organization for Migration. A new truck scanner was installed at the Sadakhla border point with Georgia and Armenia, funded by the EU and UNDP. It inspects cargo and looks out for smuggling. Partnership fund and Dutch firm Georgia Fresh Holding BV invested 4.2 million euros in expanding the Imedeti Greenery Greenhouse in Samtredia. Heidelberg Cement said it'll invest $120 million to renovate and develop its cement plant in Kaspi over the next 2 years. They're cooperating with a Georgian co-investment fund and UK-based Honeywell Partners. Ministry of Justice will launch a trade facilitation system, a platform that harmonizes electronic information flows in the shipping and transport industries. The Revenue Service, Georgian Railways, Poti and Batumi seaports, shipping terminals, and more will be on it. USAID was involved. Two Georgian photographers from Tbilisi State Academy of Arts are exhibiting at the Krakow Photo Month Festival 2016. In sports, Georgian athletes won two gold and two bronze medals at the Almaty Grand Prix, an international judo federation competition. Georgia was named Grand Prix champion in the men's competition. Tennis player Nikolaos Basilashvili won the ATP Challenger Tour event in Heilbronn, Germany. 18-year-old gymnast Salome Pajava won a gold and three silvers at the Bucharest Grand Prix, organized by the Romanian Rhythmic Gymnastics Federation. She is allegedly known for infusing her routine with elements of traditional Georgian dance. Pajava also recently qualified for the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio. Nino Odzelashvili won gold in her weight category at the Sambo European Championship in Kazan, Russia. Georgia's Sambo team won a total of 12 medals at that tournament. New and more frequent flights for the summer. Georgian Airways will be flying to Iraqi Kurdistan, Tbilisi, Erbil, Tbilisi twice a week. Ukraine's Bravo Airways will have flights from Kiev to Batumi. Fly Dubai will have flights 14 times a week starting in July. Currently, there are seven. El Al launched this week to Tel Aviv-Batumi flights three times a week. They will fly to Tbilisi starting at the end of May. And Russia's Ural Airlines is flying St. Petersburg to Batumi twice a week. Will launch a Batumi-Samara flight in June. National Tourism Administration signed a 200,000 lari deal with TripAdvisor. Within the agreement, TripAdvisor.com will promote Georgia as a tourist destination for the next 6 months among its users from Germany, Italy, Poland, Israel, Ukraine, Turkey, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Armenia, and Russia. In wine news, Georgian wine company Shumi won gold for their 2012 Red Dry Ilerco wine at the International Wine Challenge 2016 in London. Georgian wine is now trademarked in China, so there should not be any knockoffs. Tbilisi City Hall, together with the Saba Digital Book House, launched a city library project. They're creating 300 digital library spots on streets and public parks and so on. There'll be booths where you can download books and read them on a mobile device. Should be up and running by the end of 2016. Seven artworks by Georgian artists, including Pete Osmani and Lado Gudiashvili, will go on sale at Sotheby's in June. The highest-priced painting is Roe Deer Drinking from a Stream by Pete Osmani. It's been sold at a Sotheby's auction in 2011 for £150,000. J.K. Rowling tweeted about Georgia in Eurovision. She wrote, "Loving the attitude from Georgia, 12 points for Ukraine, nothing for Russia, and they sent a vampire to deliver the news. Hashtag Eurovision." It was presented by last year's Eurovision contest, Nina Sublati. Many hundreds of retweets. In Parliament, on the 13th of May, Parliament passed with its third and final reading a bill on corporate income tax reform known as the Estonian model. According to the bill, corporate income tax will only apply to distributed profit. Undistributed profits reinvested or retained will not be subject to income taxation starting from January 2017. The rule will apply to banks, insurance companies, microfinance institutions, and pawnbroking businesses starting 2019. and other amendments to the tax code, only the Finance Ministry's Revenue Service will be authorized to carry out tax inspections. Finance Ministry's Investigative Service, known as the Financial Police, will no longer have those powers. The Revenue Service will also be required to get authorization from a court to freeze bank accounts. All of these are very, very good plans, mostly coming from Kvyatkashvili. On Thursday, the 14th of May, Parliament passed with its third and final reading a bill on the Constitutional Court. The amendment increased the quorum required for the court to decide cases. It passed with 81 votes, about 14 hours after it was adopted with its second reading. Parliament on the evening before, after 2 days of heated debates, lawmakers from the Georgian Dream Democratic Georgian Party, notably Eka Beselia, a co-sponsor of the bill, had proposed holding a special parliamentary session on the Saturday to finalize the adoption of the bill. Otherwise, it is extremely unusual for the parliament to convene on the weekend. National Movement lawmakers were fiercely protesting, say it was a completely rushed process to pass a major bill. Free Democrats and Republicans also did not support the bill. There are indications that President Mark Velashvili may intend to veto it, although a presidential veto can be overridden by 76 lawmakers. This bill is specifically designed for there to be political control over the Constitutional Court, by the way. Some of the details on why critics are saying the bill is problematic. The proposed changes impose two-thirds of a majority instead of a simple majority for the nine-member Constitutional Court to decide cases. Coalition for Independent and Transparent Judiciary, for example, said this high quorum could paralyze the court, which is the idea. The bill also proposes to increase the number of judges required to be present when the Constitutional Court sits as a full bench when discussing a case. Currently, if six judges are present, the court is eligible to proceed. This bill envisages an increasing that to seven judges. In another proposal that was considered controversial, decisions on suspending a disputed legislative clause as an interim measure pending a final verdict should be taken by the full bench. Currently, the interim decisions can be taken by a panel of four judges. So critics say the proposed new rule will overload the court and complicate its functioning. In parliamentary discussions of the bill, UNM lawmakers describe it as a punitive measure against a constitutional court for making a number of decisions over the past 8 months which angered the government, among them the complaint filed by former Tbilisi Mayor Guy Ugulava in the Rustaviotti case. Some from the Free Democrats and Republicans are saying the purpose of the bill was for the governing party to politically take over the constitutional court that will allow a small number of judges to block the court decisions. As a note, in September, the 10-year terms of four of the judges of the court will expire. Two new judges will be appointed by President Mark Velashvili. One has to be appointed by Parliament, and the fourth by the Supreme Court. Other things the bill does, it changes the rule nominating and electing the chairperson of the Constitutional Court. Under the existing law, the chairperson is selected through consultations between the President, Parliamentary Speaker, and Chair of the Supreme Court. The new proposal is that the chairman should be selected by the Constitutional Court judges among themselves and elected with the support of at least five members. Georgian Dream Democratic Georgia Party adopted the bill without sending it for review to the Venice Commission, which they had pledged to do when members of the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe visited early in May. In this case, the National Movement is correct. The purpose really is to take over the Constitutional Court. On the 19th of May, lawmakers from the Republican Party put forth electoral amendments designed to secure proportionality in distributing seats in Parliament in the situation that the mixed electoral system of party lists and majoritarian contests remains. Okay, everybody listen to this because it's incredibly important for these elections coming up in October. Opposition parties support the bill. As a reminder, Parliament has already debated two rival constitutional bills on the electoral system reform. Both of them, one proposed by OSNEBA's parliamentary majority group, the other one initiated by the parliamentary and non-parliamentary opposition parties, envisioned scrapping the single-member majoritarian component of the electoral system. The opposition parties want to carry it out now before the October elections. That's not going to happen. The OSNEBA bill, that's the multi-member constituencies bill that we've talked about a lot. The OSNEBA bill envisages reform for after the 2016 elections, meaning 2020, who cares about that? This latest bill by the Republican Party aims to address the potential disparity that may emerge between the shares of votes a party receives in the nationwide vote and the actual number of seats that the party gets in Parliament. According to the bill, if a party gains more seats than it is entitled to based on the shares of votes received in the party list contest, the party would retain the majoritarian mandates, but its party list mandates would be cut to the level that would be proportional to the share of its votes in the national popular vote. So, you got the Parliament is half majoritarians and half proportional members from party lists. Normally, those are kept separate, so the half from the proportional list will match the percentage of voters, but then it is theoretically possible in some crazy case where all of the majoritarians are swept by one, let's say, governing or unusually wealthy party, so that even if that party gets, let's say, 20% of the popular vote, they get all of the majoritarians, or a lot of them, and it skews the overall percentage of party affiliation within Parliament. This is a very, very good amendment. Let's hope it passes. Meme this week is new graffiti that went up in Vake from the 17th to the 18th of May at night. It's Orthodox priest and a policeman kissing, like the one that was on the in Berlin of Brezhnev and Honecker. The artist is Musia Kebularia. It's dedicated to the people who were arrested in Tbilisi on Idaho Day. It is great. Also see the awesome one in Lithuania at that restaurant of Putin kissing Trump. Stuff to read for the new CODA story. Investigative journalism project Georgi Lomsadze writes in the World Congress of Families coming to Tbilisi. He notes how it served Russia's foreign policy agenda. Since promoting homophobia has been one of Russia's soft power tools to sway former Soviet countries away from the West. This is a great story, very much worth reading. To understand Georgia now, you need to understand the connection between Georgian nationalism, homophobia, and what the U.S. Republican Party calls family values, and the interests of the Kremlin. Just read it. Genius Lomsadze also writes for Eurasianet on the fighting between Otsneva coalition members Tomas Mechiaoudi and Defense Minister Tiniko Khidasheli, and that Mechiaoudi was saying that Khidasheli should be sacked because defense isn't women's work. Clearly, he hasn't fought against Eritrean women or the Viet Cong. Refinery 29 explores some of the designers of the budding fashion hub of Georgia. Will Cathcart, writing for Vice, goes to Goudia to watch the bloody Easter Lelo match. CRC looks at the relationship between how living with children affects homophobia. They find that women who live with children in their households in Georgia tend to be much more homophobic and men not. From the podcast elsewhere, Brian Whitmore's Power Vertical podcast on Radio Free Europe discusses Georgia's NATO dream and the fading chances. Kia Nodia is a guest. Regarding the Idaho protests, you can see the Rainbow Taburetka, funeral performance of the death of state, guaranteeing citizens equal rights, is on YouTube. We have a video of Georgia's entry for Eurovision, Nika Kocharov and the young Georgian Lolitas, and their son Midnight Gold performed live at the semifinal event. Continuing on Eurovision, Matt Desim in Slate thinks this year's Eurovision was everything we could have hoped for and more, meaning great, weird, fun. He notes that, and I quote, a few countries made attempts to branch out from Cyprus killers sound-alike shtick to Georgia's dreadful whatever it was, end quote, which, you know, Matthew, is just harsh. So, you know, put a lid on it. All these things to read, post on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 3.7 million, which is how much Inlari, the finance ministry, is giving to the Patriarchate to restore damaged infrastructure to Tbilisi Samipa Cathedral, where there was a fire in March. The money comes from the government's reserve fund. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is spielpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.spielpod.com. And hailing from Montgomery, Alabama, Brother Bones with the 1949 version of his famous Harlem Globetrotters theme, Sweet Georgia Brown.
Hey, man, who's that cat coming down the street?
I don't know, but it sounds to me like that whistling man with the bones.
Sure having himself a ball.
Yes, that was that cat, all right.